Hey everybody, hi, this is Eric Mann, the co-host and host today of Voices from the Frontlines, your weekly public affairs hour show, and my head is kind of spinning today. I have two things I'm trying to hold in my head. One is going to be a commentary that I'm going to make about the Bus Riders Union versus MTA federal court case that just came through and try to explain to you what was the decision about our consent decree and its extension. And then after about a 12 or 13 minute commentary, we're going to have Scott Ritter on. Most of you know him by now. He's the author of Iraq Confidential. He was a UN weapons inspector. And he has a new book, a chilling book. I've been reading it all weekend, called Target Iran. Very important, very worthwhile. So I'm going to start out with my commentary. And then after a while, we'll take a short break and we'll be back with Scott Ritter and Target Iran. So, Eric, what do you think? Well, the case, what I want to talk to you about is that I think you know that I work with the Labor Community Strategy Center, and one of our key projects is called the Bus Riders Union. In 1992, we went into court and stopped the Los Angeles MTA from raising the bus fare from $1.10 to $1.35, and even more horribly, what they were trying to do, and more terrific what we accomplished, is got a federal court judge, District Court Judge Terrence Hatter, to issue what's called a temporary restraining order to stop the MTA from eliminating the monthly bus pass, which at the time was $42, and would have led people to have to pay as much as $100 a month for public transportation. 2 years later, in 1996, we signed a consent decree as we were about to go into court. If you've ever seen those films where both parties are about to go into court, both parties tell the other ones they have a great case, and then right as they're about to go to court, in this case, the judge says, I want both parties to try to settle this case. So we went into intensive negotiation with the Los Angeles MTA and signed a 10-year consent decree from basically October 26, 1996 to this October 26, 2006. And I'll get back to what we accomplished, which is amazing, but we felt that the Los Angeles MTA had not met all the terms of the agreement and went back into federal court to get a 5-year extension on the agreement with the MTA, just as the plaintiffs got a 3-year extension with the consent decree with the Los Angeles Police Department. In our case, the federal judge, Terry Hatter, ruled against us and said that he was not going to extend the consent decree for 5 more years. On the other hand, he did recognize continued federal authority, which means his authority, up until 2010 on another provision of the consent decree, which is a new service plan to get buses to from low-income communities to hospitals, job sites, and educational centers. So there is still some federal control over the MTA, but less than what we want. But where's the drama here? What's the story? What's the backstory, the forward story? What's the point? Why should we care? And why was I physically sick for 4 days after the decision, which I've pulled myself back together, but deeply disappointed in the decision. The first thing to understand is that we live at a time when there are virtually no civil rights in the United States. For us to win the case in 1996, to go into a consent decree with the MTA, meant that the MTA essentially agreed that it was violating our civil rights under the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The MTA agreed to bring back the $42 bus pass, which was terrific. The MTA agreed, and through a negotiation between ourselves, the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and the MTA, agreed to come up with an $11 weekly bus pass. And then it agreed to reduce overcrowding from what at the time was almost 40 people sitting and 40 people standing on a bus to no more than 40 people sitting and 8 people standing by the year 2002. That never happened. The positive, the MTA through our work and through some decent people on their side as well, ended up getting rid of all the diesel buses, or virtually all the diesel buses, in a totally dilapidated bus system. For those of you who are transit dependent, you now know that the buses are clean. The buses are compressed natural gas, which is a far cleaner fuel than diesel gas. The buses are new. The wheelchair lifts that presently existed work, but more importantly, a lot of them are so-called low-floor buses, which makes it easier for disabled people to get on the fleet. Total, we won. We originally had a slogan, billions for buses, that is why we fight. Billions for buses, we want our civil rights. When we started, most people said, billions for buses. Why don't you ask for millions for buses? I mean, you got to be crazy. Set the standard low. That's the Alinsky theory of organizing. And then anything you surpass it, you can claim a victory. By everybody's agreement, we have now won $2.5 billion in improvements in the bus system, thanks to the work of the Bus Riders Union, thanks to the work of Judge Terry Hatter, thanks to the work of Special Master Donald Bliss, thanks to the work of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, attorneys Connie Rice, and then for many, many years, Richard Larson, thanks to the work of Ted Robertson and Layla Wellborn, who headed up our consent decree enforcement team, thanks to the work of Della Bonner and Ricardo Zalata, Noemi Zalata, Barbara Lott Holland, who's driven this case, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leaders, well, that's exaggeration, 50 to 100 great leaders who have sustained, many of us who have sustained this work for 10 and 12 years. So what's the problem? The first thing that's very sad about the decision, which I strongly disagree with, is that the MTA never achieved its objectives. You could say, well, hey, 2,000 buses is a lot. You got rid of all the diesel buses. You have a lot to be proud of. We are totally proud. But one of the issues is under the 14th Amendment is full equality. Full equality means just that. It means government shall not allocate funds in a discriminatory manner based on race. In my opinion, the MTA continues to allocate funds in a discriminatory manner based on race. In one analogy, it's like saying that we went into an all-black and Latino school where the 12th grade kids were getting 4th and 5th grade textbooks, and through the incredible work we did, they now have 10th grade textbooks, while the white kids are getting 3rd year college textbooks. So have we closed the gap? Yes, we have. Have we gotten full equality? No, we didn't. Should the courts have upheld our extension? Yes, they should have. So it means that the buses are still overcrowded. For evening and weekend service, it's pretty unbearable. The buses still just don't come. The fares, they're threatening us with fare increases. They're always cutting service, and we're always in there fighting. Now, the real heroism in this story is the work of the Bus Riders Union, because last week, Manuel Criollo, who's represented us in front of the MTA, went to the MTA and said, all right, now look, some of the federal oversight has been taken away. We still have some. You claimed all along you don't need any federal oversight. You're going to do it on your own. But our experience has been you don't do it on your own. We're very worried that you're going to let the bus fleet deteriorate. You're going to raise the fares. You're going to build a crazy red line subway from Weston and Wilshire to Fairfax and Wilshire for $1.5 billion. And to our somewhat surprise and happiness, the new chair of the MTA, Gloria Molina, Supervisor Molina, with whom we've had a lot of struggles over the years, has been very sympathetic, said, I want the board to go around and make a pledge. And I want every board member to talk about how we're not going to allow service on the MTA to deteriorate. We are going to work with the Bus Riders Union. We understand we're still under federal consent decree coverage for some of this new service. Well, that was pretty incredible. As Manuel said, it was sort of like being in the Twilight Zone to have the MTA, knowing they're no longer under federal court orders for as much as they used to have, to make such a decent overture to us. Now, in the realm of politics, this is like a chess game and a war that never ends. Every day, our people get up on the morning and go out on the bus to organize. Every morning, bus riders get up and still have to get up too early for a bus that's too late, that takes too long to get to a job that pays too little. So for us, for Black and Latino, Asian Pacific Islander, for low-income women, disabled, poor folks of all races. The Bus Riders Union is your best ticket to freedom. It's your best center for civil rights. And we have the right, if the MTA continues to violate our civil rights, we have the right to go back to court in a year or two and say, look, the consent decree is over. They haven't kept their promise. But I want to say that I want to thank publicly the chair of the MTA, Gloria Molina, for Supervisor Molina, for the overture to the Bus Riders Union. I want to thank Manuel Criollo, Francisca Portachas, and all the great people who are doing the work to represent us, to Barbara Lott Holland, the co-chair of the Bus Riders Union. We're in pretty good shape. Let's be clear. We're in much stronger shape than we were, folks, in 1992. In 1992, we had some people that said, I was in the Bus Riders Union before it had a name. We now have a drum and chant corps. We now do pick up 1,000 new members a year. We are a well-known force in the city. We are organizing in every single city. We're working on what's called bus-only lanes, which means that we're going to get buses moving faster and faster. We're going to move to get rapid bus. We're going to have a first-class transit system. We're going to get rid of the auto. We're going to have socialism. So just relax. It's coming. The most important thing is to call 213-387-2800. Join the Bus Riders Union. Come to our next monthly meeting and join a soap opera that never ends, except that the good women and the good men in this soap opera are going to win, have won in the past, and will win in the future. This is Eric Mann with my commentary. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come right back with Scott Ritter and his new book, Target Iran.